Shortly before I graduated from high school, Disney released its animated movie, Aladdin. I'm sure that many of you have probably seen it, especially if you have kids or grandkids. Maybe you've also seen the 2019 live-action adaptation of it. One of the main characters in this story is a genie who lives in a bottle, who grants three wishes to anyone who releases him from that bottle. Have you ever thought about what you would ask for if you were granted three wishes? Now, stories about genies, or jinn as they're sometimes called, these are found in many cultures around the world, both ancient and modern. But most of them are not nearly so lighthearted as what is depicted in the movie Aladdin. In fact, sometimes these genie stories are essentially morality tales, warnings about the unexpected dangers of getting what we ask for. So someone who wishes for long life, even immortality, ends up enduring the death of every single one of their loved ones. Someone who wishes for great wealth finds their lives consumed with fending off thieves and con artists. Someone who wishes for world peace wakes up in a world controlled by a totalitarian government that maintains peace by crushing everybody's individual freedoms. These stories remind us to be careful of what we wish for, what we ask for, what we long for, because sometimes we lack the foresight and the wisdom to know what is truly best for us and for those that we care most about. But let's take this idea out of the realm of mythology and fantasy and bring it into our world, into the real world that God made and where he is the creator and the sustainer, the sovereign ruler of all the universe, into the world where he's revealed himself to us through the pages of Scripture and in the person of Jesus Christ, into a world where, according to these Scriptures and according to Jesus, God hears our prayers and responds to what it is we ask of him. If God hears our prayers and responds to them, as both the Scriptures and Jesus claim, do we need to be careful about what we pray for? Will God answer even our foolish, short-sighted, improperly motivated prayers? I bet you've all heard it said, don't ever ask God for patience, because you won't like what he'll put you through in order to learn it. You know, usually that's said in jest, but could there be something to it? What does this mean for us as we think about prayer? We're going to talk about that today. We are in a series on the teachings of Jesus from the part of Matthew's gospel called the Sermon on the Mount. In this sermon, Jesus, he's surrounded by his closest followers and then these huge crowds that have come to see him and to hear him. And Jesus seizes this opportunity to teach about the values and methods and priorities of the kingdom of God. This is a kingdom whose arrival he's already announced. A kingdom that we can best describe as God's rule over God's people, in God's place, and for God's glory. It's a kingdom that's begun, but it's also one that Jesus and only Jesus can bring to its full fulfillment. And that's not going to happen until he comes again. It's a kingdom that all of his followers, including you and me here this morning, become a part of when we pledge our love and our loyalty to Jesus. And according to Jesus, it's a kingdom that all of his followers are to bear witness to in all areas of their lives, including in how we think about and practice prayer. So this morning, we're going to see Jesus encourage his followers to bring their needs and prayers and requests to God. And we're going to hear Jesus give them two very good reasons why they should pray with perseverance and even with confidence. And along the way, we're going to consider what this teaching on prayer means for us today. So if you've got a Bible, I would invite you to open up to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Now here, Jesus encourages his followers, as well as these crowds, to pray. Now, prayer is a topic that he's already addressed in the Sermon on the Mount. Back in chapter 6, Jesus, he didn't call it chapter 6, it's chapter 6 in our Bibles, Jesus gave his followers some instructions on how to pray, as well as how not to pray. He told them to focus on sharing their heart and their concern with God, and not to focus on using fancy words as to so to impress or try to impress God or others who were around them and heard their prayers. And Jesus then gave these crowds, his followers, a model prayer for them to use. It's what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's what we prayed together earlier in our service today. But now Jesus returns to the topic of prayer again. But this time, instead of addressing how to pray, he focuses on why they should pray. Here's what Jesus says. Matthew 7, starting in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So Jesus tells them to ask. He tells them to seek. He tells them to knock. He uses repetition here to emphasize the importance of what it is that he's telling them to do. But more than emphasizing what they should do, which is pray, Jesus emphasizes why they should pray. And that's because God responds. Asking leads to receiving. Seeking results in finding. Knocking is followed by the door being opened. Three metaphors, all given to emphasize the same point. Pray, pray, pray. Because God hears and answers the prayers of his people. I think I've told this story before here at this church, but I'm going to tell it again. When my wife was very young and living in Kodiak, Alaska, her Sunday school teacher used to pray that one of the local bars would close. I'm not sure she prayed that in the Sunday school class with the little children, but she prayed that all the time in church. See, the Breakers Bar was notorious for fights and lots of drug use. In fact, as I remember, there was even an unsolved murder that happened in the parking lot. But this faithful woman who was my wife's Sunday school teacher, she didn't just pray that this bar would close. She prayed that it would close and then become a church. It was an audacious thing to ask, to seek, and to knock on the doors of heaven for. But she prayed this over and over and over again. And nobody else believed that it could ever happen. And while she was elderly and she didn't live long enough to see it happen, that infamous bar known for sin and death became a church that I've preached in half a dozen times. The Breakers Bar became the Salvation Army Church of Kodiak, Alaska. And in that same building where many lives had been destroyed, now the gospel is preached. And many people who have struggled with addictions go there and continue to get help rebuilding their lives today. How did this miracle happen? God responded to the faithful prayer of a very persistent woman. Ask. And it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. This is the first reason why Jesus tells his followers, including us, to persevere in prayer. It's because God hears and he responds when we pray. But if God is as responsive to our prayers as it seems like Jesus is saying here, do we then need to be careful about what we ask for? Well, what Jesus says next speaks to this. Jesus assures his followers that what God delights in is doing good for his people. See, the God of the Bible is nothing like a mythical genie who delights in bringing unexpected harm to those who ask extraordinary things of him. Listen to what Jesus says to those whom he has just encouraged to persevere and pray. Look at verse 9. Jesus goes on and he says to them, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Now, all good and well-intended parents want what is best for their children. And oftentimes they will go to great lengths in order to give them what they need and what they believe is good for them. And Jesus assures his followers that God is just like this, only better. Even the best and most loving of parents is still broken by sin, is still capable of selfishness, still occasionally irritable and impatient, still insecure and uncertain at times. Yet when their child has a real need, they will do whatever they can in order to meet it. And Jesus tells the crowds that God is like this, only without any of the brokenness. God gives good gifts to his children without any of the baggage that we struggle with, without the selfishness, without the irritability, without the impatience, without the insecurity, and also without the ignorance. See, sometimes as parents, we don't know for sure what is best for our children because we don't know all the circumstances. We don't know the future. We don't even know with certainty what's really going on in our child's heart. But see, God is not uncertain about any of these things. He knows all of our circumstances. He knows all about the future. He knows with certainty what is truly going on in our hearts. And he knows better than us what is genuinely good for us, as well as what's not. And that is why God doesn't always give us what we ask for. He always hears, he always responds, but he doesn't always say yes. Sometimes his answer is, not this way. Not yet. Even no. And depending on the situation or the circumstance, the severity of our need or the urgency of our prayers, that can sometimes be confounding to us. There are times that I don't understand why God doesn't answer our prayers like we want him to. Despite how much we might ask and seek and knock. But what I do know, based on what Jesus says here, is that God is better to us than even the most loving father. And he cares about our well-being even more than the most loving mother. And my experience has been that in time, I can often see how God not giving what I've asked for has turned out for the best. And that enables me to trust that even when the outcomes of my prayers don't make sense to me, God is still good. And he does delight in giving good gifts to his children when we ask him. What Jesus teaches us here is that we should pray and continue to pray with perseverance and with confidence because God hears and responds and delights in doing good for his people. Now, as we think about what this means for our lives, I think we should also keep in mind that he has given this instruction on prayer in the context of everything else that he's already taught us about the values, priorities, and methods of the kingdom of God. And so I don't think that it is a stretch for us to assume that part of what Jesus expects us to ask and seek and to knock for should reflect these things that he has been teaching us over these last weeks. Here's what I mean. In last week's text, Jesus instructed us not to be harshly judgmental towards others. Instead, we should approach them with gospel-shaped humility and compassion. Why is this hard for us to do? Maybe it's because we're afraid that if we don't say something now, we're never going to get to say anything. Or maybe it's that people who are different than us, they make us uncomfortable, and so this is a way that we can push them away and keep them at arm's length. Or maybe it's because we've been disappointed by a loved one's decision, and this now becomes our chance to take out our hurt and anger out on someone else. Jesus says to us, speak the truth to them in kind, humble, and gracious ways. And we tell him, that's just not possible. And Jesus says, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek. And you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. You know, Jesus has taught us not to retaliate or to seek revenge. Why is that so hard for us to do? Maybe it's because we're afraid that if we don't do something, there's never going to be any justice. Or maybe it's that because we're so embarrassed by what's happened to us that we don't know how else to deal with our shame but to lash out at them. Jesus says to us, turn the other cheek. Forgive those who've hurt you. And leave justice in God's hands. We say to Jesus, that is impossible. And Jesus says, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Jesus has taught us to embrace the sexual ethic taught to us in the Bible. Why is that so hard for us to do? Maybe it's because it seems so out of step with our culture. Maybe it's because we fear that if we were to embrace this kind of a sexual ethic, that we're going to end up missing out on something good. Maybe it's because we feel that, you know what, it's just not possible to live this way in such a sexualized culture. Jesus says to us, ask, and it will be given to you. seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Jesus has taught us to always be truth tellers, to mean what we say, to say what we mean always. Why is this so hard for us to do? Maybe it's because we believe that if we were this kind of honest, there's no way we'd get ahead in life. Maybe it's because we fear that, you know what, if we're actually honest about our weaknesses and our shortcomings and our failures, then no one would ever love us or respect us. Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And we want to say to Jesus, you don't understand. And Jesus says to us, I do understand. So ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. This is the kind of living that Jesus calls us to as citizens of the kingdom of God, living in our beautiful but broken world. And sometimes it can be hard, and it can be complicated, and it can be a really messy calling for us to respond to. And we're not sure how to respond. And we don't know what to say or what to do. We're not sure how do we resist these pressures, both internal and external, that are being put upon us to compromise the values and the methods and the priorities of the kingdom of God. And so Jesus says to us, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. If you are somebody who's pledged your love and your loyalty to Jesus, then you are one of his people that he delights in giving good gifts to. And so pray with perseverance. And if you do that, you can be confident that God will give you what you need in order to respond, in order to be able to resist, in order to be able to conduct yourself well, whatever it is that you end up facing. And that is because God delights in giving good gifts to his people like you. Let me pray. Father, we praise and we worship you for your glory, for your holiness, and for your love. Thank you for creating a world that, though broken by our sin, is still full of beauty and joy that we can celebrate and enjoy. And thank you for giving to us when we ask, for finding us when we seek, and for opening the door whenever we knock. Jesus, we bow before you as our great hope and our true rescuer king. We pledge our love and our loyalty to you as our teacher, as our example to follow. Teach us to pray with perseverance and with confidence. And Holy Spirit, continue to open our hearts and our minds to hear and to receive and to understand all that Jesus wants to teach us about the kingdom of God. Drive us to pray in those times when we are in need. Teach us to speak to God throughout our days. Inform us into the kind of people who trust that God will give us all that we need and all that is good for us when we ask and seek and knock. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand with me for the benediction. And then you'll be dismissed. I do want to remind covenant members, regular attendees, probably in about 10 minutes we'll start what I think will be a pretty brief quarterly business meeting. Love to have you stay for that and participate. But more importantly, here's the blessing. Blessed are you when you're poor in spirit, when you mourn, when you are meek, when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are you when you're merciful, when you are pure in heart, when you are peacemakers, when you are persecuted because of righteousness. For in these things, the favor of God is upon you, and the kingdom of heaven is yours. Amen and amen.